Translation. Thereafter, the great elephants from all the directions carried big water jugs full of Ganges water and bathed the goddess of fortune to the accompaniment of Vedic mantras chanted by learned brahmanas. While thus being bathed, the goddess of fortune maintained her original style with a lotus flower in her hand, and she appeared very beautiful. The goddess of fortune is most chaste, for she does not know anyone but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is described in this verse as Sriyam, which means that she has six opulences: wealth, strength, influence, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. These opulences are received from the goddess of fortune. Lakshmi is addressed here as Devi, the goddess, because in Vaikuntha she supplies all opulences to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees, who in this way enjoy natural life in the Vaikuntha planets. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with his consort, the goddess of fortune, who carries a lotus flower in her hand. Mother Lakshmi is described in this verse as Sati, the supremely chaste, because he never diverts her attention from the Supreme Personality of Godhead to anyone else. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Ganandana Salakya Chakshuran Minitam Yena Tasmai Si Guruve Nama Si Chaitana Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dirati Swapanantikam Vandeham Si Guru Si Yuta Padakamalam Si Gurun Vaisnavamscha Si Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Si Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sivisakam Vitam Sta He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visavana Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatrubhyacha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always engaged in his transcendental pleasure pastimes in the spiritual world eternally. And that spiritual world is a perfect arrangement where everything is meant to increase the pleasure of the Lord and his devotees. The material world is not like that. The material world is not designed according to the desire of the Supreme Lord. The material world is designed according to the desire of the living beings. Therefore, it is a world that the Lord never wanted. But then, he modified it. He made some arrangement within that material energy to bring the living beings back to the spiritual world. Therefore, there is an order in the universe, which has not been conceived or desired by the conditioned soul. But there is an order in the universe so that that ultimately God consciousness can prevail. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is describing how in the higher regions of the universe. Things are not at all going on in a mechanical way in the Prakritistani Karsati, in the struggle for survival. No. In the higher planetary regions, there the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is predominant. We find a description of the Kinaras, and it is said Garuda as a body like a Kinara, and that the Kinaras, when they fly, that their wings, as they are flying, are producing the sound of the Samaveda. So, which is like that portion of the Veda which is consisting of very beautiful hymns in various melodious meters. So the entire atmosphere is surcharged with remembrance of the Supreme Lord. In that atmosphere, gorgeous arrangements were being made for a wonderful event, the churning of the milk ocean. And the churning of the milk ocean was that activity which would bring so much auspiciousness within the universe. And of course, it would bring out this nectar, but many other benedictions would come out of churning this milk ocean. Therefore, it was arranged by the Supreme Lord. It was desired by Lord Vishnu, who is engaged in paritranaya sadhanam vinasya saduskritam dharma samstarpanatya sambhavami yuke particularly to establish the principles of dharma, of religion, but also on the way vinasya saduskritam, to annihilate a few duskritas, a few miscreants. The word miscreant is sort of a nice word, like a miscreation, right? Something. Something that shouldn't have been there. So these pastimes, the primary objective is to establish the Supreme Personality of Godhead in all His glory. That is the essence, and that's some demons are being killed on the side. That's only like a side issue, not the main focus. The main focus is truly the glorification of the Supreme Lord. And we are seeing that we are dealing here with a pastime of Lord Vishnu. So there is a Vaikuntha element of great Aishwarya, of great opulence. And therefore, first, the goddess of fortune is being worshipped. Worshipped because she is the dedicated servant of the Supreme Lord. And that is a fact. It is a fact that Lakshmi, and we're not speaking about the demigoddess Lakshmi. We're speaking about the consort of the Lord in the eternal world. That eternal consort of the Lord, who is always engaged in padasevanam, in serving the lotus feet of the Lord, is supplying all the opulence in the spiritual world. Then that consort of the Lord expends herself into the Lakshmi, who is the demigoddess Lakshmi, who is worshipped by the demigod worshippers for material opulence. We offer our respects to that Lakshmi, but our interest is in that eternal consort of Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha. And our focus on Lakshmi as the eternal consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not because she supplies all opulences to the Lord and all the residents of Vaikuntha, and may a few drops of that opulence fall our way. No, we are particularly interested in that the goddess of fortune is the most chaste, for she does not know anyone but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We want that quality. That quality of being completely chaste to Krishna and to not be distracted. Vyavasyatmika buddhireka guru nandana. That consciousness of being absorbed, that is what we want. Absorbed in remembering Krishna. Just a few days ago on Nrisimha Chaturdasi, we were remembering how Lakshmi Devi was requested by Lord Brahma to pacify the very angry Lord Nrisimha, who had just killed Hiranyakasipu, but who was still fuming. I mean, eyes red, burning red, and it's like no one could go near. All the demigods were like thrown aback by that inconceivable anger. But Lakshmi, she could not go before the Lord. Even she could not approach him. But it was not that she did not approach him because of his anger. Is actually explained. The reason why she didn't approach him, because she had never seen a form like that of Lord Nrisimhadev. That was like a form of the Lord she had never ever seen. And she just wasn't 100% sure if that personality was actually her husband. So, she did not come forward to the Lord. That chastity, that single-minded focus, that is the essence of the whole description here. And that is really what we want to achieve. Such single-minded focus of the Lord is not possible on the strength of determination. I shall fix my mind on the Supreme Lord and twist the mind somehow or other. I will chant attentively. It's torture in that way. It is austerity. But yes, how long can one function on austerity? If you have to unload a truck with bricks, we can do, theoretically. Of course, we don't like such jobs nowadays. It's more, if it's not a keyboard, we don't like to touch it. But, suppose we would unload bricks, then, yes, the first few loads is all right. But if there's 3,000 bricks in an Indian truck. That's what comes in an Indian truck. 10 ton, 3,000 bricks. I know from my construction days. The first lots are easy, but the last ones, they begin to weigh very heavy. That is the nature of austerity. That austerity in the beginning can be done on the strength of determination, but the weight of that austerity, it becomes heavier with time. Therefore, how long can we function on austerity or just determination, fix the mind? Tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam sujityasmat paramasukyam tanantam. The instruction of Lord Rishabdev, who indeed was very, very determined and who managed to live an extremely austere life. But in this age of Kali, the four legs of the Bull Dharma, three are already broken, and austerity is one of them. It's broken. So our capacity to perform austerity is greatly diminished in this age. It is not what is going to motivate us. How often do we hear, "I don't feel like it. I don't have taste." So what? This is the answer. Yes, it doesn't matter. That has nothing to do with it. You know, whether you feel like it or have taste. What does that have to do with it? The real issue is we have to go go back to Godhead. We've got to get out of here. You're in a burning house. And you have to jump now out of the window and say, well, I don't know. I don't feel like going out today. What's the point? Madness. You'd be finished. You have to get out. Sansara dhavanadadita loka. A blazing forest fire. It's emergency. So, due to ignorance, due to madness, due to illusion, we don't realize. We don't realize that there's an emergency, that we got to get out of here quick. That's the first reason. I have no taste. I don't feel like it. It's like missing the point. The house is on fire. And it's not about, I don't feel like going out. It's on fire. Yes. So there is that urgency. That is there. But, all right. So first there's determination, and then we see that knowledge helps. If we have knowledge that the house is on fire, if we understand sansara dhava, nadadita loka, this material world is there is this cycle of birth and death, sansara, it's like a blazing forest fire of material existence, and all the living beings, the loka, are afflicted by suffering. All right, if we have that knowledge, good, then we are stronger in our determination. So determination plus knowledge gives more strength. It is said, balavan indriya, I have to start at the beginning maybe. No, that's the Bhagavad Gita. Kam Raghavi Vajitam. No, I'm Balavan Indriyan Gramo. That's it. Balavan Indriyan Gramo Vidvam Samapikarsati. Right. Those are two lines of the verse Matra Svasa Duitava, of one should not sit with one's own daughter in a secluded place, which I leave aside. What I wanted to bring up, balavan indriyan gramo, the senses are so strong that even a learned man, vidvamsam, one who is vidvamsam, one who knows, apikarsati, he also struggles. So learning will not save us, ultimately, from the struggle. Learning will not save us from the struggle to fix the mind completely on Krishna. Is not going to do it. Although it will help a lot, because if we are truly learned, we understand. It is when we are learned, then we understand why Krishna consciousness is the best. So it's the logical choice. If we're not learned at all, then why should I do all these things? Why should I follow all these rules? Sudra is not learned. He doesn't want to follow any rules. Why should I follow all these rules? But if one is learned, then one says, yes, all these rules, they set me free from suffering. It makes sense, therefore. They're not like restricting me. These rules are all restricting me. Can't be fanatics too much. This is ignorance. When we have knowledge, we understand the benefit of the rules and how they benefit us. Yes, I'll accept them, yeah, because it makes sense. This is the best way to go. If in England, when you go for a walk, you have to sometimes go around the mud pools. That's just the way it is, right? You can't go in a straight line. I don't want to walk around. It's intelligent, makes sense. You get no mud on the boots. So if we follow the rules, we avoid the mud of the material world. Then we don't get mud on the boots. Then we don't carry with us all that material contamination. Because as soon as you get the rules, protect us. The injunctions protect us from material contamination, which we have to carry with us. I just do what I feel, all right, in interacting with the material world. But you pick up contamination, and then you have to carry with you in your consciousness. So, knowledge in that way gives us a path of the mode of goodness, which is helpful. But ultimately that also will not allow us to fully absorb on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It cannot be forced. There is no question of forcing it by just determination, I want to do it, or by systematically and logically seeing, well, you know, to focus my mind on Krishna is really the best, because Krishna is the best, and therefore logically it is the best to fix the mind of Krishna. I should not really fix my mind on everything else that's available in the world, because Krishna is really the best. That's knowledge. I really should be more Krishna conscious, because I know it's the best, but the other things look good also. As we drove into the manor, what did you say? Srila Prabhupada said something like, the manner is what? The manor is beautiful, and when the sun shines, it's no better place. Today it looks like paradise. But I've been here too many times when the sun didn't shine, I remember. So, yes, in that way, I won't fall for the illusion. I have knowledge. Yes. But still, I might be tempted, I might be tempted, right, by the illusion. So it's like that, it's like, I know Krishna is the best, but then there's London, downtown, so many things going on. Just, a little bit. Not too much, just little. That is the issue. But if there's love, right, for Krishna, that's of course the only way. That's the only way to become absorbed. So, yeah, we know that. We knew you were going to say that. But, we can't do anything with that. Because love of God is so high that, like, even with a telescope, you can hardly see it, love of God is so high that it's totally theoretical. Therefore, it's nice, speak about love of God, but can't really relate to it, got nothing to do with everyday life on the ground. So what about that? Yeah. But then we have, then Rupa Goswami, who was so absorbed in love of God, gave us such nice information of how to access it. Because Srila Rupa Goswami, he saw, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, he saw with these eyes anointed with love. So when he saw the entire world, he saw everywhere how Krishna, out of love, out of his love for all the living beings, has made so many nice arrangements that are so powerful that even if a little association with these things, immediately love of God develops. So, like in the Nectar of Devotion, in chapter 26 is dedicated to impetuses for love of God, for developing love of God. And it's a very nice chapter. I like it. It describes different features of Krishna that bring about love of God. It is said, for example, Ekadasi. Look at that. Ekadasi, is an impetus, an opportunity for developing our love of God. If we really make it a special day to increase our hearing and chanting about Krishna, then it is an impetus. Then automatically some love of God comes from that. It describes in that chapter a tulsi leaf, and how there's a devotee who's praying to the Tulsi leaf. And he's praying to the Tulsi leaf and he's saying, please tell me something about the lotus feet of the Lord. You must know, because you are always placed with sandalwood at the feet of the Lord. So Tulsi must know, having a very intimate relationship with the lotus feet of the Lord. Please tell me something. Yes, so Tulsi is an impetus for developing love of God. All these things, it doesn't matter that we are in the beginning mechanically, like worshipping Tulsi. The first time I came in a Hare Krishna temple, it was in Vrindavan, and it was 6:45 at night, exactly at that time. And then, maybe a few minutes before, so I'm in the temple looking around, and then next moment, all the people start to bow down to a plant. And I go, look, and now we're going to bow down to a plant, okay? My Western conditioning had a little bit of difficulty with that. I was ready for anything, I was ready for like deities, and but a plant, that was sort of a little bit shocking. Then one can stand there every day religiously. It's so early again. But it doesn't matter because Tulasi is so powerful. It is mentioned in the Padma Purana that all the holy places of the entire universe, every Tirtha, every holy place of the whole universe is present in one Tulsi leaf. So you just read little things like that. Yeah? You just read a little verse like that, you go, my God, And I knew it was powerful, but that's powerful. All the holy places of the entire universe are present in that one leaf. So in this way, the benedictions that automatically give us love of God are very, very strong. And the acharyas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the acharyas have packed the Sankirtan movement with these impetuses for love of God. It's packed. It's just overloaded. And Prabhupada made it especially a special package for the West, for the modern world, for the modern man, and put in a little bit extra here and there by making a streamlined morning program with like all these elements in there. And in this way, love of God is something we may as well appreciate, that it's actually going to happen to us. Love of God, nobody ever reaches love of God. Right? That's so high, it's impossible to achieve. So, yeah, it's like, who has it?
Wherever I look, who has love of God?
I don't see anybody who has love of God. Yeah? Nobody. No. let me write something about it on the internet. Nothing. Not a drop of love of God I'm seeing.
But it's everywhere. It is everywhere. Yes. Prabhupada saw it everywhere. Prabhupada saw love. Shruti Kirti was part of a reception party in Los Angeles. Prabhupada came back to America after a long time in India for recovery, for health. All the devotees were crying, he's back, right? Except Shruti Kirti, cold, not a tear. That day he was massaging Prabhupada. Then he mentioned it. He said, all the devotees love you so much, but I have no love at all. Then Prabhupada didn't say nothing. You know, massage going on. Next day, same massage, same time. Then Prabhupada gave the answer. He said, this is also love. This is also love. It's not about tears. So many things we're doing out of love, actually. Prema maiti kripo peksi yakaruti samajama. It is said that the majam adhikari, the intermediate devotee, serves Krishna out of prema, out of love. The word prema is used. It is very interesting that the word prema is used. It may not be the same level of prema that we find in the Uttama Adhikari, and but it is, there is love, and that love is naturally cultivated. So all we need to do is fill our life with these impetuses for love of God. In other words, Krishna consciousness is not a process where we have to push our consciousness, like an old broken car. It doesn't want to start. My consciousness doesn't want to go towards Krishna. Okay, push the old broken car again and again. No. Krishna consciousness is not about pushing our mind and consciousness towards Krishna. It is simply about filling our life with Krishna and all the aspects of Krishna that attract our consciousness. And automatically, the more we fill our life with impetuses for love of God, right, the more we will be swept up by the river. Just like the Ganga. If you go in Mayapur in the Ganga, on the side of the Ganga, the water is flowing slow, and you go in and you swim, you know, like you move by your own force of your body. Go a little deeper. There's no need to have any effort. The current will take you full force, right? You're flying along. So love of God is like that. At the edge of the ocean of love of God, we're pedaling a little bit. But if we go slightly deeper, slightly bring in more and more Krishna into our life, then automatically the current will grab us, and that love of God will automatically emerge. And it is as simple as that, and increase. And it starts, and I started with the Madhyam Adhikari, which is not so unreachable. Right? So in that way, it's not unreachable. Love of God is actually very close to us. It is very natural. Krishna, after all, is very nice. He doesn't just look very nice. He is very kind. He is achyuta, the infallible, the one who never fails to notice the smallest service rendered. Small service. Krishna is reciprocating. Oh, how nice. How nice. Krishna is so appreciative. Right? He says, like, when he remembers Draupadi and how she was being disrobed, he says, like, at one point she threw her arms in the air, called out, "Hey, Govinda." And Krishna says, whenever I remember how she just surrendered to me like that, my appreciation for her is increasing. See, Krishna is generous. He has a generous heart. It's not that, like, but yes, I'll give you some appreciation, you know. It was very nice what you did, Prabhu. That was nice. No, Krishna says, that was very nice, actually. No, that was really so nice. And if I think of it, it was just extremely nice. So Krishna's appreciation is just overflowing. So in this way, we need not worry. All we need to do is just one thing. Shake off the ignorance. Shake off the ignorance. And actually take advantage of all these impetuses. And with enthusiasm, engage in service of Krishna, in hearing, chanting, and remembering, and automatically we'll become swept up, and automatically become in that mood of Lakshmi Devi, of being completely absorbed. Today, because we're discussing this verse about Lakshmi Devi, who is so focused on the Supreme Lord, we pray to her for a moment, right? From, please give me that like unwavering focus on serving the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We pray for blessings to the devotees. That is needed. Alone, when we fall short, blessings of devotees will make up the difference. And then Krishna's mercy. Like that, success will be attained through blessings of the devotees. To our endeavor, blessings of the devotees and Krishna's mercy. Okay, then I'll end. Any comments, any questions?